Coach, what have you seen just week one to now about with Nate Orchard?
I'm pleased with where Nate's developed. I'm sure you guys have noted. I think it was the Baltimore game. He started every game since then. Those first few weeks, it was part of an evaluation period to see, you know, if he was going to be able to hold up and do the things we needed him to do. And at that point, we felt like he could, and he's done a good job continuing to progress from this point forward. From that point forward,
what's made him so good against the run, which is maybe a surprise, I guess.
It's really just his approach and his work ethic. I mean, he does a great job of taking in the information that I give him in terms of things he can work on, things he can improve, and what's going to be necessary for him to be successful in certain situations. And then not only at practice, but on his own individual time, he really works hard to improve those things and perfect them. So his work ethic and his determination are really, I mean, far above what I think anyone would expect for 22-year-old rookie coming in.
So. Do you worry about him getting frustrated about the sacks? Because that's what he did so much as a senior.
No. And him and I are in constant communication about that. He knows that that's part of what got him here. But part of my job as his position coach is to develop and execute a long-term plan for his growth. And right now, starting at the beginning with the foundation of the run fundamentals and all those sorts of things that are going to help us stop the run defensively, he's embraced growing and developing that aspect of his game first and just knowing that those opportunities to rush the passer will come later on.
What about, can you talk a little bit about Paul Kruger and just how, you know, he's talked a little bit this year about, you know, playing strong side a little bit more in the beginning and how his role has changed and, you know, maybe not always playing on third down or different things. How has he done? What do you see as his role, and what do you see going forward with him?
Yeah, and Paul and I have had a lot of conversations about that. It's not a simple decision. You know, part of our job at the beginning of the season is to evaluate the entire group and figure out who we can use in the best possible roles or scenarios in combination with the other 10 guys on the field to give us the best chance of being successful both against the run in those situations and against the pass in those situations. So we made the decision that Paul was the best suited to help us at the strong side of the defense early in the season, partially based on a little bit of unknown in terms of Nate coming in as a rookie and how he was going to be able to help us in that role. With Scott getting injured in the first game, that obviously raised some question marks. And then Mingo coming off both the shoulder from last season where he wasn't able to participate in a lot of the offseason stuff, and then the knee injury in the preseason as well. At the beginning of the season, we felt like the combination of what we thought was going to be Paul and Scott would give us the best opportunity to stop the run, and that quickly became Paul and Armani after Scott got hurt early in the first game. And as Nate continued to develop and Mingo showed that he was healthy enough to help us, then, you know, after I think it was the Baltimore game, we felt comfortable transitioning back into the role he was in more of last year.
I got to follow up. He doesn't have the, you know, he obviously doesn't have the sack totals that he produced last year, and I know for those edge rushers, you know, that's the big thing for them. That's their calling card. So,
right.
Why isn't he getting the sacks, and what can he do about that?
Yeah, if it were a simple answer, I assure you we would have made that correction, but there's a lot of factors that go into that. Part of it is just the ebb and flow that any player would have over the course of their career. You know, sometimes sack numbers are up and down, and there's a lot of factors. And then there's a lot of, you know, the offenses deserve a lot of credit that we've been going against. The quarterbacks are getting the ball out. You'll see an increased number of run-pass option plays where the statistics show that they're passing the football, but the front is showing more of a run blocking scheme, and that creates issues for edge rushers. They're not able to just pin their ears back and go forward and get after the quarterback. So there's a lot of other little things that are contributing to those numbers. But, you know, he still has 6 games left, and I know that he's gonna put up some more numbers as we go through the rest of the season.
Starting to ask a question about Mingo with the backdrop of Mike Pettine said several weeks ago that Mingo is always going to be a little undersized for certain things that you might want to do with him. But as you, as a staff, acknowledge that he is a little bit light for some duties, what can he bring to a football team, and is he evolving to any extent?
Yeah, Mingo's done a good job coming off of his injuries. He plays probably with the best effort of any of the guys in the room continuously, and I point to that that play against San Diego where they broke a long pass and he was able to sprint down and catch one of their fastest wide receivers at the 1 yard line. I mean, his effort is unquestionable. He has elite coverage skills for the position. Anytime where we're concerned about matchups at the tight end position for the other outside backers to handle, he's the guy we turn to in that regard. And he's got edge pass rush ability. It's just that, you know, there's a lot of reps to go around there's a small amount of reps to go around for what is a big talented group, really, with four guys being active every week. So only two guys are able to be there on the edge. And right now, we feel the most comfortable with Paul and Armani really getting the majority of those pass rush reps, especially when it comes to third down. Mingo's in that rotation, and you know, we'd like to see his numbers jump up a little bit here as the season progresses as well.
Yeah, his speed now, you can tell what he closes. It looked like, I seem to remember him closing on a back, but on this team, he is as fast as who? Maybe in the backs group, the receivers group.
I don't want to start any problems, but I would put him up against some of the DBs. I mean, his speed and coverage skills are absolutely elite for an outside linebacker. Yeah.
So when you say that would have to be a combination of the speed and talent, and he's figuring out where he's supposed to be as well.
Yeah, for sure.
How has Armani adjusted to the position? Do you think this is the best spot for him?
I do. I think he's adjusted well. I think it was somewhere around Arizona, Denver. I felt like he really turned a corner in terms of adjusting to the difference in speed and timing that comes with playing on the edge versus playing inside. It's hard to really put into words, but there's definitely a difference in terms of how fast things happen and what your reactions have to be. And somewhere around that middle of the season point, I felt like he really turned a corner and started to play more explosive and have more speed, and I think that production really showed up in the Arizona game especially.
To what do you attribute the 32nd ranked run defense, and what are you guys doing during this bye week from your group to fix it?
There's a bunch of factors that go into that, and every position group has their areas for improvement. We've spent some time analyzing that over this downtime, and every position group and then every individual player has areas of improvement that they can focus on, and we've done a good job communicating those to the guys, and I think we'll come back ready to improve on that.